Ravens. So Kansas City goes out, gets an edge rusher, and D-Hop. Baltimore says, okay, we'll play that game. We'll go get a better receiver, Deontay Johnson.
And now Mahomes looking right. Now the back of the end zone caught! DeAndre Hopkins, welcome to the Chiefs' kingdom! Your first kingdom touchdown!
The Chiefs should be concerned about this game. At every level defensively versus the Chiefs' offense, the Texans should win. Advantage Texans because you've already gotten used to Mahomes. Chiefs should be concerned about this game.
And they give it off. Kareem Hunt lowers the shoulder and takes a Texan right into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Am I giving Houston a chance? Of course.
Chiefs look to the triangle side out route. It is caught. Touchdown. Left front pylon. Xavier Worthy is having a game.
I definitely see this O-line. It definitely has its leap holes, and it definitely has its their struggles. But, you know, I feel like that we can take advantage of that. You know, we got an elite D-line. You know, I feel like Pat's a little banged up, so I don't know if he's going to play or not. But I hope he's mobile enough because we coming in Arrowhead.
You guys plan to get after that?
Yeah, for sure. Pat better make a good decision. I ain't making no threats. I'm making promises.
Mahomes on the far hash in the pocket, stepping up and trying to squeeze through, stays on his feet. 10, 5, Mahomes is into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City on that bad ankle, stepping through the pocket, running all the way to the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Don't forget, Mac Morey put that together to get you all juiced up for the game Saturday. 3:30, Mac and Drew, they're on at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and then it's just Chiefs coverage throughout the day here on 96.5 The Fan. Rob Britton coming up in about 15 minutes for the roundtable, and don't forget also, Barry Road, Rally House, Gold, Cody doing their show from 10 to 2 up there, so you can go see them, get some gear for the game, and go watch a live show, and it's in the motion.
And stand there the whole time and just look at Alex and make him very nervous.
Yeah, watch the wandering eyes.
Yeah. Kind of, I don't want to say breaking news, but Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the league, was on Bloomberg Television talking business this morning, and 18 games again is coming up as to the league pushing for 18 games. We would keep that within the regular 20-game framework, Goodell said. We'll do two preseason games and 18 regular season games, which I am good with. I don't think we need any more of these preseason games. I think they're a waste of time for everybody. But then he did go on to say the NFL Players Association would need to approve the extension of the regular season. The union could object on the basis that more games will mean more injuries, although Goodell says the 17-game season has not increased the number of injuries thanks to improved training and rules changes. I mean, we could sit here and discuss the 18 games. Do we like it? Do we not like it? It doesn't matter. We get more football. 18 games, I'm fine with the 18 games, and we know what's going to happen. There's going to be an extra bye, you know, added in, and the NFL season is going to wrap on President's Day weekend. That's what we're aiming for, I would say, within the next 5 years or so, but the players are going to have to approve it and find a way to get some money out of it. And I'll tell the players this right now, do not give in for legalized weed or something ridiculous like that. Make sure they pay you.
Yeah, roster expansion.
Yeah, more jobs, exactly.
Shorter rookie contracts.
Mm-hmm. It's that time. Friday at 9. Richard of the Week.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Go ahead, right. Mac. I think we all have easy Richards of the Week here.
I think so, too.
Without even thinking this week.
Yeah, I'm kind of just grazing our answers here. I'm going to go with, we played him a couple of times today. You just heard him in the intro. Emmanuel Acho, man. This guy's a Richard. You know, if it was Idiot of the Week, he'd be it every time. So I can only do it for him, for a Richard. But if you haven't heard Emmanuel Acho, this is what he said.
Mm. That's amazing.
Yeah, it sounds better than what he actually said.
Yeah, really
the
good.
The Chiefs should be concerned about this game. At every level defensively versus the Chiefs offense, the Texans should win.
Who?
Advantage Texans because you've already gotten used to Mahomes. Chiefs should be concerned about this game.
Used to Mahomes.
Yeah. Used to Mahomes.
It's
is
great,
still,
man.
It's arguably it's arguably the dumbest thing I've ever heard
said.
Well, get used to losing to Mahomes,
exactly.
What he should have said. The Texans.
The Texans. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't
man.
Know what he said. He, like, gum stuck on the roof of his mouth? Okay, Bob. Here we go.
Raise your hand if you love the airport experience. If you love the flying experience, I'm not seeing anybody raise their hands, right? It's one of the worst.
I've yet to be at the new airport, so I don't want to.
Wow, you haven't flown in a long time, huh?
No, the last time I flew was, Chiefs play the Bengals in the regular season, December 4th. I flew to Vegas.
Okay.
That was the last, I think that was like 2 years ago. Two years ago.
Pre-new terminal. Look at you. Nobody likes flying. Everybody's on it, right? All you want to do is get there and get to where you're going.
Lots of anxiety,
right?
That's why you drink at the airport and there's no time to be shamed.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You want to drink at the airport at 5 a.m., you drink at the airport at 5 a.m.
Like 4.
As long as the bar is open, you can drink, right?
And they always are.
And it's the only place I feel like it's okay to drink by yourself. Saddle up to the airport bar, I'm going somewhere, right? It's no big deal. I think the airport and the airlines over the last few years have shown that they cause anxiety. And I think a lot of people have it because you're not in control of the situation. You just want to get to where you're going. And everybody knows there's so many different things that can happen to F all this thing up. Mechanical issues, weather, I think those are things you can deal with. The Southwest Airlines pilot who showed up in Savannah, Georgia to fly a plane drunk is not something that I can deal with. I mean, what an A-H. Not only are you drunk, but now you're jeopardizing lives of 175 people that are going to be on that flight, and you showed up drunk. Now the flight can't go, and these people who are probably connecting to Atlanta or Nashville to get on a flight to go somewhere else are probably going to miss that flight, and now you're ruining people's vacations. So this pilot for Southwest arrested for a DUI. If you get arrested for a DUI, you should be fired on the site as a pilot, and you should never be allowed to work again because you had a direct impact on so many other people and could have had a major impact on people by showing up to fly a plane drunk off your ass. Mm.
Yeah, you can't do that. That guy'll never fly a plane again. I think that's one of those jobs where if you get like a Dewey, like you can't ever, it's like that. You can't get your CDL license or something.
CDL, I think, is that way. Yeah.
I might be talking out of my ass. Tell me something I don't always do. My Richard of the Week, it's quite simple. It's easy. It's like the cover two. Don't overthink it. Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Yeah.
You let the emotions get a hold of you. You didn't think of the repercussions that were going to come. You lost your job.
Have you seen the follow-up?
I have. The guy that kind of like the fiance of the fan is also
he's a douche.
Yep.
This guy set up a GoFundMe for people to buy him the ticket to go to the game so he could stir up stuff.
Yep.
First of all, you started a GoFundMe to go to a football game. You're a loser right then and there.
To his point, he didn't know the guy was going to call his wife the C word.
No, he did not.
Which he didn't need to do that. And when you did that, you got banned for life and you lost your job.
Yeah.
Now, again, you can go stir somebody up, but you're a Richard by going over the top and doing that type of verbiage and losing your job for that case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you look it up, the Green Bay Packers fan is not a good guy. He could also be the Richard of the Week.
He could be very much the Richard of the Week, and he should probably lose his job too, honestly.
Say no to the dress. Do not say yes to the dress. You're not legally married yet, so just you don't have to be with that guy. But again, Richard of the Week, Philadelphia Eagles fan, because not only did you make your fan base look bad, which doesn't really look good ever,
right?
You also look bad yourself. You now know how longer have a job for your company, and you just, if you'd have used any other word, could have called it the B word, probably don't lose your job. Probably don't lose your season tickets. Probably just look like a scumbag, look like a Richard. But again, you didn't. You went the low road. You're the Richard of the Week for Dusty Likens, Philadelphia Eagles fan. Get out of here.
But
F around, find out.
You know, also with this guy, you know, who did all this kind of stuff, if you're going to a game looking for trouble, right? Like, that's just a bad deal. He's a Packer fan that grew up outside of Philadelphia, like an hour away, started this GoFundMe to send him to the game. And
his fiance?
Yeah.
To the game? Okay.
Yeah, and gets there and tries to mix it up a little bit. And I can tell you just from, like, bouncing in and out of, you know, on the Odyssey app with New York and Philadelphia radio stations, kind of hear their perspective of things. Philadelphia is tired of this kind of behavior out of their fan base. Like, it's gotten to the point now where Eagle fans and people on the radio in Philadelphia are like, guys, enough. Mm. We're tired of this reputation. Yet it continues to go and continues to be fostered and whatnot. And, I mean, the entire party of people, they're all douches. They really are. I mean, all of them are. You don't use that kind of language, but you also don't go there with the express consent to try to set somebody up to do something. Because this guy talked about how he'd gone in the past and it got violent. They knocked his cheese head off and all this kind of stuff. Like, you bring it upon yourself. You really do.
Honorable mention for Richard of the Week from the 913. The dumbest thing I've heard is the Chiefs threepeat.
Huh?
I don't know. I just don't like the sound of a three-peat. Coming up, you get the sound of Rob Britton, who is the co-host and producer of The Drive. He'll join us at the roundtable here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
9:17 on a Friday, which means it's the roundtable. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. This week's guest is Rob Britton, co-host and producer of The Drive. Mr. Britton, how are you on this lovely Friday?
I'm doing very well. Very excited to be
it's
here.
It's Saturday.
I know. A lot of people think it's Saturday. Right. There's a certain sect of people that would tell you it's a Saturday morning.
That's right. Man,
Saturday.
Getting up. That's right.
Having a cup of coffee.
Feels like tropic temperatures outside.
Beautiful out there today in the 40s.
I woke up and I was like, 4:30 in the morning. I was like, man, it's kind of nice out here. It's not freezing.
Right.
I came in with the sun out. Oh,
wait till tomorrow.
It's like Jamaica all over again.
Yeah. Wait till tomorrow about 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Go outside and you'll freak.
Well, the high for tomorrow is going to be 33. That's at midnight.
Okay. And then it's just average.
Yeah, because I looked and I'm like, 33. Wonder when it's going to hit 33. Midnight. And then it's just a progressive down.
Right boom, when the boom, clock boom, turns boom, over.
That's right. That's the high is right at midnight tonight.
Well, at least it's going to be windy, too. So that makes it feel even better.
Yeah. It's always windy at Arrowhead, though. Mm-hmm. Between the two stadiums is the ultimate wind tunnel. No matter what time of year it is a wind tunnel through those two stadiums.
They should have put a cover over,
they
sliding
about
cover.
It. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That didn't go well.
Maybe the next day we'll have something like that. But
yeah.
Well, a guy can dream.
Yeah, right.
Division round coverage brought to you also by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, how do you when you see this game, C.J. Stroud, really a lot of legacy stuff on the line. Obviously, we'll talk about Baltimore and Buffalo in that game. But C.J. Stroud coming to Arrowhead in the playoffs is a little bit different. I told Mitch Holt this earlier. It's week 16 was kind of like an appetizer. Like you go to a place, you just did restaurant week, right? Mm-hmm. You get your appetizer. It's good. It doesn't define the menu. Week 16 was a taste, right? Hollywood Brown played.
Mm-hmm.
All the guys played except, Rasheed
Rice. Jones didn't.
Chris Jones was out, but, or maybe, I don't know. But that was like a little bit of it. That doesn't give you the full menu of what Arrowhead can be. And you get, a 3:30 start, a lot of juices flowing in fans who've had time to rest, have had time to get ready. This is a different vibe that I'll have C.J. Stroud looking at a different sort of angle from this Chiefs team in this situation this Saturday at 3:30.
So, first and foremost, I'm not a big C.J. Stroud believer. Not yet. I need a larger sample size. I know some people are talking this week like, this is probably the best young quarterback in the NFL coming to Kansas City. I don't feel that way. I feel about this game with C.J. Stroud kind of the way I felt about, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Remember when the Jags came to town
for
the divisional round and Trevor Lawrence was, hey, watch out, Trevor Lawrence is next. And the Chiefs, the biggest thing from that game is Mahomes got hurt, but the Chiefs took care of business. And since then, Trevor Lawrence has kind of vanished out of existence.
He has not been the same.
C.J. Stroud has had two good seasons and two good playoff games. He also had a terrible playoff game against the Ravens last year. So he has been anointed next. I'm not one of those people. So with this game, I'm curious if C.J. Stroud can play well. I don't think they're going to win, but if he plays well, it might turn some people into more believers with the Texans for the future. So this game, you're right. It's very much legacy for C.J. Stroud. Maybe that's a big term for a third-year guy, going to be a third-year guy, but you can, change the narrative around you from, hey, you're just winning the AFC South.
Right.
Super duper. Like, neato. I saw Brian Hoyer do that. Like, who cares? Anyone can do it. So he has a chance to actually be viewed as next up. That's interesting to me. If this game's 27-21 and he's slinging the ball over the yard, okay. Maybe we talk next offseason about the Texans are now one of those teams. But this is, 31-17 or 28-14 and he looks average, like he did in the first half against the Chargers, it just feels like the Chiefs bumped into an inferior opponent with a quarterback that just happens to be in a bad division.
Yeah, well, you said that you don't think this game is going to be interesting, or you think it's going to be, Chiefs win.
Ho-hum Chiefs win.
Right, type of game.
Kind of like Christmas Day. Christmas Day was fun because the Chiefs won, but you never were sitting at home unwrapping gifts, watching the game, being like, this is actually like a chew on your fingernails football.
It was never a game.
Correct.
It was a fun game to watch from
enjoyable,
a fan perspective, but it was never a quote-unquote quote game. You don't think it's going to be a game, but Emmanuel Acha, who still has a job today, thinks it will be.
The Chiefs should be concerned about this game. At every level defensively versus the Chiefs offense, the Texans should win. Advantage Texans because you've already gotten used to Mahomes. Chiefs should be concerned about this game.
I don't know what that means. Advantage Texans because you already got used to Mahomes.
I have no idea what that means. I mean,
he might have been up late.
I mean, they played one game against the Texans this year. There are teams in the playoffs and in, football, if you told me, hey, they've gotten used to Mahomes, like the Bills keep losing, but I don't think there's like a fear of Mahomes. I think they're like, okay, that's, you know, it's mano y mano. The Ravens kind of feel the same way. Like they know that guy's better than their guy, but there's not a mystique or a aura or however Samuel Ocho said it. You know, there's not like they know Mahomes.
They're used to Mahomes.
Maybe that's
based on what?
That's not the Texans. The Texans are absolutely not the team that has any, hey, we're used to Mahomes. You've played him once since CJ Stroud took over.
Right.
And you lost. And it was kind of a ho-hum game. Like, after Tank Dell got hurt, it was exactly what I talked about the Steelers game. Kind of stopped being a game. The Chiefs kind of just asserted their dominance. Game over. To say the Texans are used to Mahomes, I don't agree with. Like, I don't think the Broncos obviously lost, but according to Sean Payton, shoulda, woulda, coulda, if they right. played this weekend, they would have been a real problem. But if you would tell me a division opponent is used to Mahomes, okay, you play him twice a year.
Right, but the division is like 1-5 or 0-6 every year.
The idea the Texans, who have played the Chiefs one time in this era, are used to Patrick Mahomes is nonsensical to me.
Emmanuel Acho, to me, is horrible at takes. I mean, like, he has the worst takes I've ever heard.
Which is crazy, because that show has a lot of bad takes. Like,
yeah.
I don't think Paul Pierce, you know, Rock Chalk, I don't think Paul Pierce does a very good job.
No.
Somehow Shady McCoy, who was a villain when he left Kansas City because he talked bad about Andy Reid, is like the voice of reason on that show. I guess Chase Daniel is also that show has a lot of problems.
That show sucks.
And we're not even going to discuss one of the people on that show is very prominently featured in a lawsuit against the company. So
right.
Yeah, that show's one that let's just switch the channel.
Yeah, know your role, right? Like, know what you're getting yourself into. So confident in the game, you take the 8.5 or you just stay away from it?
I would take the 8.5, and I wanted to pull this stat up. So here's Kansas City's margin of victory, their first four playoff openers under Patrick Mahomes, in games where he didn't get hurt. Because, like, the Jags game I mentioned earlier, he got hurt. Chad Henne played multiple drives. It's different. Mm-hmm. So in 2018, the Chiefs beat the Colts 31-13. In 2019, the Chiefs beat the Texans 51-31. In 2021, the wild card round, the Chiefs beat the Steelers 42-21. And in the frigid cold, where it was under 0 degrees out, they beat the Dolphins 26-7. When Patrick Mahomes is in a playoff opener and he has rest, they are going to score and they are going to put it on you. Because Andy Reid, I don't have the bye week stat in front of me, but when he gets a bye week, he throttles people. And yeah, that's what you see in the postseason. He throttles people. And usually, those are inferior opponents and they're at Arrowhead. So it's a lesser team that Andy Reid got extra time to prep for, and Patrick Mahomes is playing. They usually throttle teams in the opener. So, I think they cover the 8.5. This feels like 34-17, 31-17, something like that. Where
21-4 after a bye week.
Yeah, just insane numbers. Yeah, I think you have to take the Chiefs, and I would take the points, but I could maybe see a backdoor, by the way, for the Texans,
right.
But it's not a touchdown that actually puts the game in peril.
Right. No, it's like the touchdown that the Raiders scored first game in Vegas. You know,
the one where Minshew, only thing that killed that was people who had the 10.5.
That's right.
I know that because I was one of those people.
right. That killed it, but they blew the Raiders out
correct.
In that game. It ends up being 27-22. They won by 2 touchdowns in that game. So I see what you're saying, a last-minute late touchdown that really doesn't
mean anything.
Their
2-minute drive with no timeouts.
Yeah.
They score, onside kick goes Chiefs' way. Everyone celebrates, fireworks go off at Arrowhead
right.
type of deal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Who do you think from a non-Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones standpoint, even Trent McDuffie at this point, whose legacy can grow the most in this run to the postseason, run to the three-peat?
I think it's DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
Now, I think that's because of everything he's accomplished outside of Kansas City. Like,
sure.
You look at his stats and his, like, you know, Pro Football Reference page, it has all his accolades and awards. Mm-hmm. He's like a fringe Hall of Fame guy right now. I don't know he's in. There's still, you know, time left for him to add stats, but he's trending toward Hall of Fame. If you put a Super Bowl on the resume, that changes the resume a little bit. If you have a great playoff performance and people remember you as being great in the playoffs, that changes things a little bit.
Yep.
So and DeAndre Hopkins is, when healthy, still one of the better receivers in the NFL. I think from both his legacy standpoint and his paycheck standpoint, if he's good in this postseason, he's probably not getting the Hollywood Brown 1-for-9 in the offseason. He's probably getting a nice paycheck one more time, and he's now trending toward Canton. So it's not a, you know, like one of the, you know, foundational pillar guys of the Chiefs that they drafted, and it's like, oh, you know, one of the guys we've watched throughout this three-peat, but DeAndre Hopkins can give himself a gold jacket if he's really good in this postseason.
Who has a bigger contract this offseason, DeAndre Hopkins or Sam Darnold?
It's positional Sam Darnold.
Oh, I mean, really?
You quarterback in the NFL is a broken
even
model.
After the last eight quarters.
I mean, if you're telling me ever since Mr. Nasty Man, Deshaun Watson, ruined the contracts for everyone, everyone gets those giant guarantee numbers, you're seeing Trevor Lawrence get $20 plus million a year to go out and be mediocre. You're telling me Sam Bradford can't? Not Sam Bradford, Sam
Bradford
Darnold.
Bradford got money, too.
Yeah, he got money.
He's the last of the bonus system.
He was the last of a bad system. But you're telling me Sam Darnold can't get the Trevor Lawrence contract somewhere?
What did Baker get, $30 million a year?
Yeah, it's something like that. So, and you massage and manipulate it. But yeah.
Deshaun massages.
Not different massage. If Baker and Trevor Lawrence are getting that number, Sam Darnold's getting that number, which is just outlandish, but it's a different conversation.
So I want to bring this up to you because there's, you know, obviously bets and props that you can have in this game. And I saw this stat from Peter Schrager. Pretty solid, actually, for a guy that plays for the Chiefs. There are four players that have had at least seven game or more streak in the playoffs of 75 yards or more from scrimmage. So 75 yards or more from scrimmage. Those players are Franco Harris, Terrell Davis, Emmitt Smith, Isaiah Pacheco.
Wow. I would have not...
Isn't that wild?
That is not. I thought you were setting up to talk about Travis Kelce with that stat. I did not think that was going to be Isaiah Pacheco.
Franco Harris. Wow. Franco Harris, nine games in a row had 75 yards or
more.
And
these are postseason games.
Yeah, makes sense. Terrell Davis eight, Emmitt Smith eight, Pacheco seven. Is this the Pacheco game or is this the Kareem Hunt game or is it just yes?
So that stat, it's like still blowing my mind. I think, going into the playoffs, if I were Andy Reid, I would have Isaiah Pacheco as, you know, running back number one. I still think it's going to be by committee, and they're going to split carries. But if you were like, hey, who should get the heavy workload? Even before that stat, I would have said Pacheco because Kareem Hunt is great at turning first and 10 into second and six. Mitch Holtis says it all the time. Like, you're going to take 4 yards, and now the whole playbook's open. You can do run. You can pass. Like, the whole playbook's open. But Pacheco can take a first and 10 and turn it into an 18-yard run, where I don't know that Kareem Hunt has that juice and giddy-up still in his body. Now, he's had also 2 weeks of rest, so maybe he's at full go.
And he's only going to get about 50% of the carries, as you mentioned. Like, I love that we're going in with Pacheco and Kareem Hunt healthy and splitting the carries. It's going to be awesome.
I think splitting's going to happen, but if you ask me, like, who gets the bigger workload and who's more likely to have a big game, I think it's Pacheco because he's more likely to rattle off, you know, a longer chunk. You know, I could see Kareem Hunt getting, you know, 12 carries for 56 yards, but his longest carry is 8 yards. Pacheco has a chance to rip one off. What was it? The Raiders game this year on Black Friday. He had that little draw play that went for 30 yards. Like that kind of thing opens up a lot of the offense. So I think Pacheco, and that stat only furthers my argument because, goodness gracious, Franco Harris, Emmitt Smith, Terrell Davis, I would have never thought Isaiah Pacheco was in that.
Hall of Famers, right?
if he has 75 yards from scrimmage, he ties Davis and Emmitt Smith in the playoffs for consecutive 75
also,
yards.
Also, Pacheco's been on the team for now 7 straight postseason games. It feels like he just got here.
Well, him and Trent McDuffie.
I mean, I guess.
Well, the tweet says it's January Isaiah Pacheco time from Peter Schrager. Says, never has lost a playoff game. 2 Super Bowl starts in his first 2 seasons. 2 Super Bowl wins. 23 days off. Healthy, ready to roll.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense now because, like, the first year he was here, they had the bye. So there's 3 games for them in the Super Bowl. And last year they had to play in their first round. There's 4 games in the Super Bowl. Like,
7.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's the craziest part. He's at 7 already.
And some people will never get to 7 in their careers. And this guy's in his first 2 years.
We mentioned DeAndre. 8. Is DeAndre Hopkins at 7?
Probably not.
I mean, that's a guy who's, I mentioned earlier, Fringe Canton. He might not be at 7 in his career.
You may be right about that.
He had 1 in Arizona, 2 or 3, maybe 4. And he, goodness gracious.
Because he was always on teams that got knocked early.
Yeah, they were either 1 and done or they got the first one. Congrats. And then you go lose in the second round.
So right.
I could see him having less than Pacheco already.
Yeah. So the left tackle has been, for whatever reason, a topic this week. And it's driving me crazy, but I get the feeling, and Mitch mentioned it with us as well, we're going to see all kinds of weird stuff over there on the left side of that line. I'm a big, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of guy. I didn't think it was broken.
So first off, we disagree a little bit. I'd understand why left tackle is the biggest conversation because I think the Chiefs are going to win this game easily. The only path I can see in my head for how the Texans win is they muddy up the game and make it ugly and make it like a 19-17, like that Black Friday game. I know the Chiefs won, but that kind of game.
Yeah, that game sucked.
Yeah, it was uninteresting to watch.
Yes.
The one thing about that game that stands out is I don't remember which Raider pass rusher it was. It wasn't Crosby. It was the other dude.
Stills?
Just kept, yeah, whatever.
Nash?
Exactly. He just kept cooking Wanya Morris. If DJ Humphries or Joe Tooney, whoever's out there, is getting absolutely cooked by this Texans pass rush, suddenly that confidence I have disappears. That they have to muddy up the game. So I get why left tackle's a big conversation. But me and you see it the same way. We use different analogies. I used dance with who brought you.
Yeah.
Joe Tooney got you into the postseason. I know that on December whatever, you signed DJ Humphreys, and the plan was great on paper pre-Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, he's played three quarters of football and has been hurt for multiple games, right. And he's just now practicing.
That's the say it out loud test, yeah, right there.
I don't love the rest versus rust argument thing, but if there's one guy who definitely trends rust, it's the guy who's played three quarters of football in a calendar year.
And that's where I am on that, Rob. You and I are exactly the same on that. It's not like he played a little bit mm-hmm. this year, got hurt, missed a few games, came back. This guy's not played in a year.
Correct. He came back and played. He came back from an injury, that's why he was a free agent, and played, did not complete a game before getting hurt again. Now, I know right. the injuries were different, but yeah, I think he's a great break glass in case of emergency. If you think he's healthy in practice and Tooney is doing poorly, he's there as an option, but Joe Tooney has solidified the offensive line. I know that Tooney at left guard is better than Caliendo at left guard, but left guard's not a premium position on the field. No offense to the left guards out there. Sorry, Brian Waters, if you're listening somewhere, but Caliendo's fine, and Tooney was the reason you're in the playoffs, and that yeah. after that Bills game, it came to a head, and they fixed it. I'm a big Team Joe Tooney guy.
So you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins in the playoffs versus Isaiah Pacheco. DeAndre Hopkins has played in six games there in the playoffs.
So he'll be at his seventh this week.
So he has a total of 446 yards in the playoffs receiving, doesn't run the ball. Isaiah Pacheco has a total of 635 yards in seven games, so doing well. Mm-hmm. Bob mentioned something earlier today. It's kind of funny if you want it foreshadowing, right? And mm-hmm. I know you've got a take that'll come out later and maybe time, but like there was a graphic and it was Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Trent McDuffie.
Mm-hmm.
Trent McDuffie's getting the bag this offseason.
I hope the Chiefs do it. Yeah. We last week, you know, kind of took big picture Chiefs stuff because wild card weekend's boring. So we had a cap expert on, take that for what it's worth. He pointed out there's a lot of good corners who are about to get paid. And if the Chiefs want to pay Trent McDuffie, which I'm a proponent of paying Trent McDuffie.
They wanted to pay him last offseason.
Get it done first. Like, Derek Stingley plays for the Texans. The Chiefs will see him this weekend. He's also a very good corner. He had the pick last week against Justin Herbert. He's a good corner. You know what you want to do? You want to get Trent McDuffie paid before that guy gets paid.
Yeah.
Because if that guy sets the market and then Sauce Gardner resets the market, suddenly you're paying Trent McDuffie, who I think is better than both of those guys, an extra premium. You're paying a you got it done last tax.
Mm-hmm.
I want Trent McDuffie paid this offseason. That would be, I mean, there's a lot of things to get done this offseason. Like, I think this will be one of the more interesting offseasons in Brett Veach's tenure in Kansas City because so many guys are coming off the books that are so important to the team. I think even in the pantheon of all the things this offseason, number one with a bullet is get Trent McDuffie locked up. Get ahead of it. You're going to have to pay $20, $21 million. Don't end up paying $26, $27 because you waited and then had to pay a premium.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. They wanted to sign Trent McDuffie for about a year now and get that deal done. If you're Trent McDuffie, you're kind of like, let me bet on
Trent
myself.
Trent McDuffie would wait. I
right.
get that.
Or you could be like Pete Alonso and not take a huge deal and bet on yourself and now have nothing basically
correct.
To go back to. So there always is that. But I use the term in love with Trent McDuffie. Like, he is the next guy, the next wave, the next leader, the next pillar of this franchise. It wasn't an accident that he was included in that graphic. Everything that they do at Arrowhead is done with a reason, with a purpose to send a message, and to have Trent in that opened my eyes. I'm like, okay, they now do view him as one of those guys. Stop telling me about Sauce Gardner, though. Like,
he was bad this year.
Yeah,
but you know what New York does? They give bad contracts to bad players,
right?
Look at their quarterback. They they love to overpay for mediocrity. So even though Trent McDuffie is better than Sauce Gardner, and I you're right, Sauce Gardner is bad this year, you're telling me the clown show in New York ain't gonna overpay for Sauce Gardner
will.
And
they
ruin
will.
The whole thing for everyone? So
yeah.
You're right.
But
he's not great, but he's going to get paid like he's great.
I wonder, like, if the new coach is going to make a difference with him, because he was so good, and that defense was so good. And then they got rid of Robert Saleh, who was also kind of their defensive de facto coordinator, and then it all went downhill from there. I wonder what's going to happen once they get a new, if they're going to be back to where they were. But again, the wear and tear on everybody now has been 3 years, you know? So you never get your youth back, ask me.
It disappears quickly.
Fast. Yeah. Like, overnight. So, yeah, the Sauce Gardner won like a year ago. Hell yeah. This past season, he like quit on his team, basically.
Oh, yeah. I do agree with you, though, that Trent McDuffie's part of the new guard of the Chiefs.
Who else is part of that?
I think Karloftis is. he's had a little bit of a regression this year, but he's still one of those guys.
But look how much better he's been since Omena, who's been
correct.
Back.
I think Rashee Rice is going to be one of those guys. It's just he lost this season because of injury, and I think he's going to get suspended to start next season. But I think he's
this suspension should count for this year, though. They should just
You know how the NFL is, they'll be like, yeah, you didn't play. But yeah, I think he'll be part of that new guard. I think those are the two off the top of my head that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's part of the next wave. They'll probably make Pacheco. I could see being part of that wave, but I think fast forward 3-4 years, the Chiefs will have a graphic for a postseason game. It'll still have Mahomes, but it will have McDuffie, Karloftis, and maybe a draft pick by this point.
Could
because
be.
I don't think in 3-4 years you're going to go to a game at Arrowhead or wherever it is in 2028, 2029 and see Travis Kelce. So someone else is going to have to be on that graphic.
Yeah, you left out a key name in that conversation, and I know why you did, because I would have left the name out as well. That's Trey Smith, because I don't know that he's definitely.
I don't know he's back.
I think he's a first-round pick that got picked in the sixth round. He's got that money to make up for. He's going to get a bag this offseason.
And I just talked about corner. You want to be ahead of the market. Do you know what happened last offseason? Guards that no one's ever heard of, because who watches, like, no one watches guard play in the NFL. I'm sure the Texans will tell you, I really lock in to watch the guard. Liar.
Liar.
But no one watches guard play that in the NFL. Dudes that you barely know the name of are getting $20 million last offseason. I think Robert Hunt by the Panthers got 21. The guy for the Eagles, the tush push guy, Landon Dickerson's getting in the 20s. Trey Smith has not made his value in money. He's about to get $20 million. The Chiefs can't really pay that number and have to have a left tackle next season. So I'd love Trey Smith on the thing, on the graphic. I don't think Trey Smith's
just
on the graphic.
Go back and look at the draft. Veach will always tell you that way. Last one here, I want to bring this up. Buffalo's a home dog. I love home dogs in the playoffs, right? Houston was a home dog. They shattered. You look at what this
Lamar's
game is.
Lamar's playoff history, too.
Right. And Josh Allen playing at home, point-and-a-half underdog. What's that game mean to you, and where do you steer when it comes to that line?
Gambling-wise, I would be with you. I'd ride with Josh Allen and the Bills. I think I've said this all week. The Ravens are the better team. Like, on paper, everything the Ravens do is better. Like, they are more dynamic offensively. I think their quarterback should probably win MVP, even though he's not going to get it in Lamar Jackson. Like, their defense has been stabilized. Like, everything on paper says Baltimore's the team. But, man, it's the playoffs, and Lamar Jackson's on the road. Give me Josh Allen on the Bills. I think you're going to get a 13 seconds rematch at Arrowhead next weekend. I know that was the divisional round, but yeah. I think it's Bills and Chiefs next weekend because I just don't trust Lamar yet.
I don't know who I want to win that game or who's going to win that game.
It kind of
back
feels
and
like
forth for a week.
Really, I forget the year. All these Chiefs Super Bowl years are blending together. The absolute best problem to have. Remember when Joe Burrow and the Bengals played at the Bills that one year?
Yeah.
For the divisional round, I remember thinking like, this is gonna be a great football game. I don't know who I want to win or will win, but regardless, a good quarterback is coming to Kansas City next weekend. That's kind of how I feel about this Ravens and Bills game.
And that's gonna be one hell of a game next weekend in Kansas City, regardless of who the opponent is.
Oh yeah, that's
what do you guys
be
coming up on the drive?
We got Nate Taylor. Yeah. He's in on a Friday, and a reminder. Today
Saturday
is a Friday, he'll be in from 4 to 5. Voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, will be on the show, and also
Vandy.
Talking about that Bills-Ravens game. We'll do a little bit on that in the 3 o'clock hour as well.
You guys want to react to a quick quote real fast before I let you go?
Please.
Jay Gruden on BetMGM tonight.
What?
The Chiefs cannot pass protect. Their left tackle is atrocious.
Next Jay one. Gruden, man, remember when you were an AFL coach? That's basically what being on the BetMGM tonight show is. I mean, if Kingsley Suamataia was at left tackle, he's right, but not correct for anyone else.
I guess he just started watching the Chiefs yesterday. That's
good. Exactly
he popped in that Game 2 film, and he was like, goodness gracious.
Oh, they
can't
pass protect. Let me have a hot take.
Went up against the sack leader in the NFL in Week 2. All right, Rob, we appreciate the time, and you're going to be passing out shirts today at 11:30
at the station. DM Law, get your playoff t-shirts.
Rob Carrington and DM Law, they got this. Today at the station, 11:30, free playoff t-shirt drop. That is the roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Coming up on the other side, Tailgate Talk. Two guys are going. One guy's going to be watching. We'll talk about it on the other side. 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Don't forget, you're 15 minutes away. You can go see Cody and Gold live at Rally House off Berry Road on a Red Friday. The guys have some gift cards to help you get geared up for the playoff run. Stop by from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. as the 10 to 2 crew do their show from Rally House on Berry Road. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty and Mac on 96.5 The Fan. You guys are the main source here for this topic that we do at the end of every show on a Friday, the Tailgate Talk segment. But before we get into that, you had mentioned something earlier in the show.
who would you like to see Derrick Henry run over in the Buffalo game?
Yeah, I actually said in real life.
Oh, real
if
life.
You could pick anybody in real life for Derrick Henry to run over, Emmanuel Acho may be number one. But my,
yes.
my friend who doesn't even live here, and he's in North Carolina, Evan, he texted me this morning and just now. He goes, would you rather die or fight Derrick Henry?
Either way, you're dead.
I'm dead.
He goes, I probably think a forearm would probably kill me either way. But I mean, like Derrick Henry has a lot to gain, I think, from this weekend, too. I think people are realizing just how dynamic he is as a running back. And I've told you guys, I've been afraid of him since I saw him at the Super Bowl in Miami with no shirt on. I went, oh, my God, that guy's huge. So, yeah, I think if you fight Derrick Henry, you're probably going to die. But if he could run over anybody, I think Emmanuel Acho probably needs to be run over by Derrick Henry right now with his ignorant take.
The Chiefs should be concerned about this game. At every level defensively versus the Chiefs offense, the Texans should win. Advantage Texans because you've already gotten used to Mahomes. Chiefs should be concerned about this game.
I think people are also understanding the only way these shows that nobody watches gets any sort of attention is if you say dumb things about the Chiefs, just like we talked about with Jay Gruden. They have no offensive line. They can't pass protect. Thank you, Jay.
You know, I think it's going to be a struggle for Patrick Mahomes to play this game because it's going to be windy. Thank you.
Have you heard that?
No, I'm just trying to think of like... Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not trying to stop your heart. It's Friday, man.
No, please say that didn't happen.
No, dude, it didn't happen.
Okay, thank God.
Hail to the churro, the red, white, and blue.
That's right.
So, you ready for the game?
I am.
Yeah, finally get there?
It's time.
Can be tough to fall asleep tonight? Or is there going to be some liquid courage to help fall asleep?
My daughter is having a party at the house. She's doing what they call a favorite things party. So all of her friends and the moms are coming over to the house tonight.
Oh.
So I may be in bed by 5.
All the moms?
The moms and the kids, yes.
Okay. Are all the moms married?
I don't think all of them
asking
are.
For a friend.
You want to come over?
I mean, if no. No, I got dinner plans with family tonight.
All right.
You know, that can always change.
Yeah.
I'm sure my
if you want to roll over, you're more than
I'm
welcome.
I'm sure my stepdad would accept that change.
Hey, I can't come tonight. Fesco's daughter's mom group is coming over to the house, and I'm going to go kind of pick up.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah. Number one free agent in the draft right there, man.
One is married to a brain surgeon, so I think you're out on that.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Can Derrick Henry run over that security guard for Philadelphia?
Big Dom?
Yeah.
That would be interesting because Big Dom is big. Like
he'd still get trucked, dude. Like Derrick Henry runs
but
like
big
a 4.45.
I guarantee you, Dusty, Big Dom thinks he could take Derrick Henry.
Yeah. No, I'm sure he does. But I mean, can he
what's Big Dom doing if he's not standing on the sidelines for the Eagles?
Smashing chicken wings.
Like that guy's working in South Philly and rustling up some feathers down there, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what he's doing, right? If he's not on the sideline, he's like a hired goon.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Or he's like, you know, at the local pub talking about his legend days.
At high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Have you all heard what Dan Patrick said about the Chiefs' fatigue? Completely agree. Okay. Derrick Henry should run over Drew Nixon for being a Bengals fan. I don't think we'd ever see Drew Nixon again.
I mean, that's
he'd come in here look like Christopher Reeves.
If Drew Nixon had a stand and Derrick Henry got like a 30-yard running start and hit Drew Nixon, how far would Drew Nixon fly?
I mean, into where he would be the next planet that would align on the 25th of January.
I'm telling you what, man, this planet stuff has got me out in the yard with my star app every night. It's amazing.
He's got binoculars in one hand and a J on the other hand.
This nighttime star app, oh my God, you just hold it up to the sky. You can see all these planets. What did I tell you? I saw Uranus last night, Venus, Saturn, Neptune. And then you said on January 25th, my wife's 50th birthday, all the planets are going to align.
That's right.
She's like, I told you that a week ago. I'm like, I don't remember that. She goes, yeah, I can tell why. But
thanks, Coach.
But the planets have just been popping, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I like looking at it in the morning when I got in my car. I like look up and you can see it, and it's just like those three are right there. Then there's like a fourth over here that's kind of slightly down, and then there's another one that's over there.
And Mars has been so red. I mean, it is just spectacular. It's awesome.
This segment brought to you by Flora Farms.
That's right. Yeah, no, I mean, if you're not out there looking at these plants, like the winter night sky is crisp clear. There's not smog. It's open. Mm-hmm. It's wide open. You can see everything up there.
Tailgate Talk, you guys are going.
That's right.
Mac's going to have his show from 9 to noon, and then he's going to head out to the tailgate with you guys. Mm-hmm. Ralph was kind enough to let him go.
Right.
So what are you guys having on the spread?
We're doing, I think we're doing burgers and brats. Ooh, yes. It's going to be cold. It's going to be something simple, right?
Yes.
Just something easy. You don't want to,
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At least I am. I'm out of the chili phase. Like, I don't need chili, you know, right now.
We've all had a lot of chili recently.
I feel like everybody's had enough, right? So burgers and brats, kind of simple. Keep it good. Yep. I went to Hy-Vee yesterday, picked up some chips. They got all kinds of, I got a Mexicali corn dip. I got a spinach artichoke dip. And I tell you what, Mac, your ass is on the line, brother, because I passed up those gooey butter cake cookies at Hy-Vee because you said Momo was making that gooey butter cake.
Momo says she's all over it. Okay. She heard us the other day. She said, I'm on it.
Okay, because those gooey butter cake cookies at Hy-Vee are unfreaking believable. So I got my wife wanted potato salad. I'm like, what do you want potato salad for? So I got a thing of potato salad. Okay.
Don't tell Alex.
Yeah, he'll think it's mashed potatoes.
This segment brought to you by Uranus and Bob Fesco staring at it.
And I got two bottles of whiskey. I got a bottle of Woodford Reserve, and I got a bottle of Maker's Mark. So
I'm excited.
And then I've got some shooters of Fireball.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you got to have those. That little cinnamon, cinnamon daddy.
Cop a couple of those in the mini fridge on the way out.
I take the whole thing.
I take the whole damn bucket, dude.
Dustin Colquitt may show up. We need to have plenty on ammo.
He's got to bang the drum.
Yeah.
Right? You got to be a little bit juiced up for that. I'm not going to the game, but my buddy's having, like, normally I'll do like the divisional round game and the AFC championship game at my house.
I like how you said normally. That's great. I just love that.
Yeah. And like this year, I'm taking a break from the divisional game. Now, AFC championship game, if and when it happens, that'll be at my house. That's when the Traeger comes out, the grill comes out. I don't care how cold it is, it just happens. But I thought this was great. Taco bar.
That's a good one, man. Everybody's happy with a taco bar, right? It can please everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm making my famous guacamole.
And what makes your guacamole famous?
It never is left any in the bowl when I leave. I always get to leave with the bowl cleaned out by the people that are hosting the party. It's always, here's your bowl. I was like, where's the guac? Gone.
Okay. What do you put in it?
Real easy. Minced garlic, salt, pepper, lemon, and lime juice. Okay. And then I take a can of hot Rotel and pour it in there and then chunk up the avocado just slightly. So you still get a little chunk, a little creaminess.
Okay. There's a place in San Antonio on the Riverwalk called Boudreaux's, and they do tableside guacamole. And what they put in it is what I tried to do. They squeeze an orange in it instead of the lemon and lime juice.
I don't mind that. You like orange in your tea.
Lemon in my tea.
Lemon in your tea. Yeah. I thought it was orange.
No, orange.
Or lime in your tea. I thought it was.
Lime in my iced tea.
That's right.
Lemon in my hot tea.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, try squeeze an orange in there, man. I'm telling you what, it gives it a great flavor.
I might try that out. Don't forget, Cody and Gold at Rally House up Berry Road from 10 to 2. Also, don't forget, it is the weekend. You have a lot of time to go do something nice for somebody. You never know. Could change their day, week, month, or their year. It is simply cool to care. Happy Red Friday. Enjoy the game. Saturday, we'll talk to you Monday. Take care, Kansas City. Mac, hit it.